Art 180's Trey Hart and Takiya Glass welcome 21 police recruits who've just arrived for a three-hour training.
Good morning, everybody. I'm the program director here at Art 180, and you're probably wondering why you are here this morning.
The recruits are here to learn about the impact of the juvenile justice system on individuals, families, and the larger community. They begin by exploring an exhibit made by teens incarcerated at the Richmond Juvenile Detention Center. For 8 weeks, the youth got to leave the facility and work with artists, educators, and legal advocates at Art 180's Youth Center.
Right now, we want to spend the next hour just looking at the gallery.
A group of recruits gathers in the center of the room where there's a replica of a cell. It's 6 feet wide, 8 feet long, and 8 feet tall. They look at the floor's planks where youth wood-burned messages to people on the outside. Step into my shoes, they wrote. Feel my pain and struggle. Imagine you can see barbed wire from your window. Imagine you can hear kids crying, screaming. Know that I wish I was home. Know that I'm scared.
For me, that was the one that, you know, got to me the most.
Every time I would read a different statement, I felt like I would hear an individual just crying out.
23-year-olds Dominique Compton and Oscar Reyes are two of the new recruits.
Just knowing, like, being in healthcare and, you know, having my undergraduate degree, I understand that human beings cannot function in such a small place. You would run the sanest person insane.
Just looking inside of the cell, I kind of imagined myself there and just, I felt a little, like a little negative energy, kind of. But at the end of the day, I realized that I got to go home, and they don't get that option. They have to stay there for whatever amount of time they're there for.
This exhibit and the recruit training emerged from the wide-ranging project Performing Statistics, which uses art and advocacy to raise awareness about mass incarceration and the school-to-prison pipeline.
The core ethos of the project is that the individuals most affected by the system are the experts that we believe society needs to listen to. In this case, incarcerated youth themselves.
Mark Strandquist launched Performing Statistics in June 2015, along with partners Art 180 and Legal Aid Justice Center.
If Virginia is referring more youth to law enforcement than any state in the country, you know, we believe that the incarcerated youth that we worked with have a lot to teach those police officers.
One way the youth are helping to teach officers is through a series of training manuals.
So the whole concept of the training manual stemmed from actually a publication that was put out by Richmond Police Department called If You're Stopped by the Police. We felt like the youth's voice was not present in that publication, and so wanted to create our own manual where teens were helping to train police on their terms and offering their perspectives and desires.
If you stop a teen, take a breath and...
Art 180's Takiya Glass reads some of their suggestions.
Remember what it's like to be a teenager. Just talk to us. Get to know us. Think before you react. Make us laugh sometimes. Ask us what we're going through. Listen.
Another manual looks at what officers should do before working with youth. Performing Statistics partner Jeri Thomas from Legal Aid Justice Center shares some of those ideas.
Walk around without your uniform. Move your family into the projects for 2 months without a gun. Grow up with gunshots on your block. Pass a test on how to work with kids. Try surviving on food stamps. Grow up watching your family struggle to survive. Have teens train you.
Those manuals were really, like, it really gave me a great perspective of how we're viewed and just simple things that we want. We can't ask the community to look at us and trust us without them looking at us and saying, hey, well, we have a bit of demands as well.
It opened up my eyes to know where I have to focus to make sure that they feel better about approaching a police officer and, you know, I'll give them a positive impact. Because once you make a positive impact with one teen, you know, I'm pretty sure they'll probably go and share it with their friends and be like, you know what, that guy's not bad. I had a great experience with him. And then you'll change one person at a time. I can't change the world, but I can definitely try to change one person at a time, and it goes a long way.
During the training, recruits heard from a mother about the impact of youth incarceration on families. They learned about trends with the school-to-prison pipeline, including that Virginia leads the country in youth referrals to law enforcement, and that Richmond has some of the highest numbers of school suspensions. They discussed youth poverty and trauma and how officers can serve as guardians and mentors.
The biggest thing I learned is that my role as a police officer can extend beyond locking somebody up.
Recruit Jason Smith's first career was as a child and family case manager. After nearly 10 years in that field, he wanted a new challenge while also continuing to serve the community.
You know, we have to hold people accountable for what they do, but I think if we can get in before it gets to that point, if we can provide opportunities within the community, whether it's teaching people vocational skills or helping them with education, or just giving them the opportunity to advance for where they are in their current standing, I think it is important. I think as law enforcement officers, we have the opportunity, we have the resources. We may not have the money at times, but I think we can do a lot more with our time.
Smith, along with fellow recruits Compton and Reyes, say the training left a lasting impression, giving them a better understanding of how to build bridges with the community. Organizers like Mark Strandquist hope this training model expands and say it could be replicated in other cities.
I mean, our dream is that, you know, not only could what we did be a training module or experience for police officers across Richmond, but also across the state, but also, I mean, this is a concept that could happen anywhere and could also be, you know, focused in different ways. How would LGBTQ youth train police? How would different youth of different faiths train police? You know, so we're really excited about sort of this model of, you know, connecting the youth most affected by a given issue to, you know, the people that can directly impact their lives.
Next week, listen for part two of this story. We'll hear from Chief Alfred Durham about this unique collaboration and how programs will expand following Art 180's Robbins Foundation grant. For Virginia Currents, this is Catherine Comp, WCVE News.